Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
From the home of Time.
It is now quite a day for local sport from your local team.
Woo! This is Charlton Live. Charlton Live. Charlton Live.
Good evening to you and welcome to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendes. Hope you're having a good Thursday. We're going to look ahead tonight to tomorrow's game on Good Friday up at Northampton Town. We're also going to hear from Alex Steadman, the former Crawley Town press officer, who's going to tell us about Harry Kewell, who may or may not be coming to the club. We're going to hear a clip from our Love Sport radio show. And as I say, we're going to look ahead to the Cobblers clash, hearing from both the Charlton caretaker manager Lee Bowyer and from James Hennigan, who's a writer for the Northampton Chronicle. Joining me in the studio here at the Valley to do all of those things is Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
Yeah, how's your week been?
Been all right. Yeah, celebrating a win for a change, yeah, which has been nice.
But not a takeover.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Still time.
Everyone, be patient. Joining us, the pair of us in the studio, and he's by popular demand, according not my words, his own words, is Pete Howarth, the Charlton fan who also has a little bit of knowledge about Northampton Town. How are you doing, Pete?
Hello. Good evening, Lou. You all right?
Yeah, not too bad. I mean, your dad's a Northampton fan. Isn't he
is indeed. So, yeah. Yes, so it's. It's our cup final tomorrow. Yeah, this is huge.
The Howarth Derby.
This is massive.
Last time he came in was before Northampton Town at home last season, which was a 1-1 draw. If
It was not one for the memory bank, really.
That's the day I smoothed it over with Russell Slade after our little...
I was going to say, when you mentioned patience earlier, I thought about that.
Yeah. Good memories. Right, so as I say on tonight's show, we've got all that cool stuff to come. So in a minute, we're going to hear from Alex Steadman, who's a Charlton fan. You may remember him. He came on the show about a year ago when he was ill with testicular cancer. But at the same time, he was working at Crawley Town. So he's the man who can give us a little bit of inside track about Harry Kewell, who's linked with the club. But just before that, Pete, because you're a newish voice on the show, I mean, your personal opinion on how this season's gone, still in with a shout at the playoffs. Obviously, now we've changed manager again. How are you feeling?
More optimistic than last, or just before the Plymouth game, shall we say. Hasn't been the best of seasons. Started off quite brightly, hampered by injuries. I'm probably going to stick my head above the parapet. I was quite a fan of Robinson, actually. Yeah. I know he did have a lot of rhetoric about him. I think he cared about the club. I think possibly his trust in the players, his lack of want to change any tactics or to evaluate the game. I think he had too much trust in his players. Not to say that the players let him down, but I look at it and think we're still in a shout with the playoffs. I think a nice little run. We've got some difficult games coming up, but 3 points starting from tomorrow against a struggling Northampton team. Home game against Rotherham, and I think I predicted the playoffs, and I'm still pretty certain and still quite hopeful that we will sneak in there. I do think that over the course of things. Hopefully a little bit of bounce back ability.
that's a great word from a former Charlton manager, of course, Ian Dowie. Now, obviously, we mentioned the takeover there. It's been dragging on for a little while. Most listeners know how me and Tom feel about the impending takeover. And what's your view on it? Is it important, not that important? I mean,
yeah, I think just for the stability of the players and their futures, to know where we're going. I think you made a comment either last week or the week before about, you know, they want to know their futures are certain somewhere. If they're not certain and they feel that they haven't got a future, then I don't see why a player, irrespective of being paid or not quite well, will put their all into it. But I think it has dragged on too long. I think it should have been sorted out earlier this year. It hasn't happened, but for me, it's on the horizon. It is going to happen. And if it happens this week, next week, the end of the season, we know he wants out. We know he wants gone. So to me, I'm not overly fussed if it happens this week or not. We all know it's happening. And hopefully.
Not sitting on tenterhooks like me and Tom are with champagne on ice waiting for something to happen.
Oh, I've always got champagne on ice.
But that's just the lavish lifestyle you live,
yeah,
isn't
that's,
it?
Yeah, but if you need some.
Yeah, excellent. Right, let's crack on with tonight's interviews. First up, we've got the Charlton fan and former Crawley Town press officer, Alex Steadman. Obviously, the news that Harry Kewell may or may not be joining the club has been very much in the local and national media over the last few days, couple of weeks now, maybe. I guess that might be fair to say. Although there was an interesting interview with Kewell today where he said he's not going to come and he's going to take Crawley to the Premier League. So good luck to him. But if he is, that may just be him just saying that, because of course, he, if you think about Carl Robinson saying he's got no interest in going to Oxford United, I mean, we all know where he is now. So that may just be manager speak. Now, of course, not many of us know about Harry Kewell as a manager. So I got onto Steadman, who's now left Crawley Town. He's working elsewhere, but so he could probably be a little bit more honest as well. He gave us the lowdown on what we could expect if Harry Kewell were to join us.
Joining us now on Charlton Live is a Charlton fan, but also the former Crawley Town press officer, Alex Steadman. Good evening, Steaders. How are you doing?
Evening, Lou. You all right, mate? Yeah, not too bad. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Thanks for joining us. Now, obviously, the club have been heavily linked with the Crawley Town manager, Harry Kewell, and most of us, we remember him as a player, but we won't really know much about him as a manager. Now, you've got a little bit of knowledge on that, of course, because you were working at Crawley Town over the last few years, and so you've seen the start, indeed, of his time there. So, I mean, how would you describe Harry Kewell's time at Crawley so far?
I suppose the best word I could use is focused. During pre-season, when he came in at Crawley Town, he was very meticulous in those sessions. Placed a lot of emphasis on fitness work, and indeed during, well, most of this season really, most of it during my time at Crawley Town and still ongoing when I went back last week. One noticeable thing about Crawley is that they play for the entire 90 minutes and beyond now. They're probably one of the fittest, if not the fittest team in the division. They've scored quite a few late goals, and that's no coincidence that he had placed a big emphasis on fitness and making sure they were sharp and ready. He asked a lot of them, particularly during pre-season and throughout August and September, where results weren't necessarily going the side's way, but you could see there was a very distinctive style of play and a method, a long-term method, and it's no coincidence since probably mid-November throughout December, January and summer, February, the results have picked up, and like I say, that's down to the work that went on during pre-season.
How would you describe sort of like the type of football he plays?
It's quite expansive. I think in League Two, where Crawley Town find themselves, there's a lot of physical sides, and there maybe isn't necessarily as much emphasis on trying to play the ball out from the back and playing football that's nice on the eye. But one thing to carry was that he was very keen to get that style across and try and implement, beg your pardon, that at Crawley. And for the most part, I think he's done that. There's still the odd occasion where perhaps it doesn't quite go to plan, but at that level, you don't expect it to every time. And so he likes his defenders to play out from the back, likes to play through the thirds, and he places a great emphasis on very quick and powerful players at Crawley Town, particularly in the wide areas. He was very keen to focus on Crawley's strengths in those wide positions. And yeah, like I say, over the last few months, it seems that that's worked for them because they've shot up the table. They were a few points off the relegation zone. And up until a couple of weeks ago, the form's dipped slightly in recent weeks, but they're even looking at the playoffs. So that speaks volumes as to how he's done down at the Sheffield Trade Stadium.
Yeah, you mentioned that, the family, because obviously Crawley are sort of floating around in mid-table now, and they did start off quite badly. Then they had that great run where they were looking to flirt with the playoffs, and they've dropped off recently. But I mean, to a Charlton fan, they'll just look at, oh, it's League Two mid-table, it's nothing special. I mean, but would Crawley say that was above expectation, below expectation, sort of on a par with what they were hoping for this season?
I think it's quite difficult with Crawley Town because they achieved quite a lot very quickly, didn't they? They rose from the non-league up to League One, drop back down to League Two, and this is in no disrespect to Crawley Town in any way. I think they've found their level in League Two, and I think Harry has definitely improved last season's finishing position. There's no doubt about that. The stats don't lie, do they? They're where they are in the league table, and that's better off where they found themselves last year. We don't know what's going to happen at the Valley. That would be wrong to say, but I think if Harry Kewell was being honest and they said, what would be your 5-year plan with Crawley Town, if you have one, he'd probably say to get him into League One. And I think they're probably, at the moment though, on reflection, mid-table in League Two is probably correct with the squad they have. I think for him to turn them into relegation candidates, to playoff potential, is really good. And I think it was difficult for him at the start. A lot of people write him off. I remember there was a fan tour that I took part in August, and I thought we might have to, you know, slip him at the side door. But in fairness to him, he really held his own, and he was really, really determined that this is what we were going to do and the results were going to change. And he didn't necessarily get laughed out of the room, but I'm not sure how many people in that room up there in the executive suite at Crawley Town believed him that night. I certainly believed him, and now they've turned it around, which I'm obviously delighted about. I can understand some Charlton fans' apprehension, relatively untested. But if he was a former Charlton player like Lee Bowyer is, you could argue that, you know, Lee Bowyer hasn't had, you know, much managerial experience, indeed no senior management experience at all, and he's been welcomed with open arms. So I think you have to give these things a chance, and on the evidence of what he's done at Crawley Town so far in changing the playing style and changing the league position, I think, you know, you can't have too many complaints in that department.
Finally for me, obviously last time we had you on the show was when you were talking about your fundraising for the John Hartson Foundation as you're suffering from testicular cancer. I mean, that was the last time we had you on, so I guess if you just wanted to give an update on how you're doing now, really.
Yeah, well, that's about a year ago now, isn't it? Yeah, I raised about £4,000 for the John Hartson Foundation for the sales of various shirts from around the country and footballs and boots and whatever. Had their charity dinner back in November, which I did a little speech for, which John Hartson didn't actually tell me about. Caught me a little bit off guard. Room of about 500 people that had all been sampling the local ale, but no, it was good. And now I'm obviously fully fit and healthy again. Loving my work, and just very grateful, without getting too deep into it, because I know we've done it all before, but just feeling very grateful to be A, doing what I'm doing, and B, without being too deep, still to be here as well. So yeah, it's amazing what difference 12 months can make.
So there we go. Great to hear from Alex Steadman. As you would have heard at the end, of course, last time he was on was about a year ago when he was suffering from testicular cancer, fundraising by selling shirts and stuff for the John Hartson Foundation. As you heard, obviously he's fine now, which is great to hear, and he's cracking on. He's got a job elsewhere, which we won't mention, but he's doing really well. But as we say, he's the man who knows about Harry Kewell now. We know that Harry Kewell was a great player, superb player back in the day, Leeds, Liverpool, many other clubs as well. Now, obviously, he's up at Crawley Town. We didn't really know too much about him. Now we've heard from said as we do. I mean, in terms of if he is the man, we're still in this weird sense of limbo where we don't know if he's going to be. But if he was the man, I mean, is there something in there that you think, well, maybe he might do something? Or is it more a case of, well, he's very unproven, isn't he?
I think it's a bit of both of them, really. He is unproven, but that doesn't mean that he wouldn't work out. I see Mick McCarthy obviously leaving Ipswich today, and apparently they've been linked with the two guys who are managing Lincoln at the moment. Mm. So again, they've done a good job at lower league, but again, a bit unproven. So it'd be a bit like that. I don't know. I mean, he's done okay at Crawley, but he's still finding his feet as a manager, and he's not got a huge amount of experience. So it's a risk, as it is with any new inexperienced manager. You know, Chris Powell's a risk, and look how that worked out. So. For me, and I said it last week, I think Bowyer has to stay for the moment. He has to stay till the end of the season at least. But, yeah, I don't know. He'd just be someone that... It would be a risk. That would be my concern. And I think after everything we've been through, all the instability, all the managers that we can reel off over the past few years, a bit of stability and someone who's perhaps got a bit more experience, I think would make me feel a bit more comfortable.
I mean, Pete, what do you think about whether we should keep on Lee Bowyer? I mean, obviously it's only been one game so far, so I mean, by the time most people listen to this, it might even be after the Northampton game, we might sound stupid if we get done 3-0 tomorrow, but I mean, at your current moment in time, I mean, do you think that Bowyer should be given a chance into the season, or do you think, well, you know, if the owners want to work with Kewell, then bring him in?
No, I think I'd stick with Bowyer and Jacko until the end of the season. I wouldn't... We've had enough instability, as Tom said. You know, over the last 4 years, we've had, I think, in total, something like 12 managers, I think, something, which is 30% of our history.
It's a ridiculous amount, isn't it?
I wouldn't... Me, personally, I probably echo Tom's words in the fact that he's... I think he managed Watford under-23s.
And didn't do very well there.
I think he's done all right. I mean, for any manager to get Carl Ahern Grant scoring, I think is a magician, really.
Well, Robbo did it for a little while.
Yeah, for about three games. I want someone... After five games, I think I'd like to assess Bowie. I don't really know what I'd want for next season, but I think... After five games, I think to the middle of April, we'll sort of see where we are. And if he gets us in the playoffs, then there'll be no reason not to give Bowyer a contract. But I still see Alan Kerbyshire's 33-1 outsider. So,
used to be 16-1 back in the day. So,
he's dropping, but let's not rule out Kerbs. But no, I'll stick with Bowyer for time.
I mean, so Harry Kewell has, in terms of experience, over Lee Bowyer. I mean, Bowyer's got one game. Kewell's got however long he was at Watford under 23s for, plus effectively almost an entire season now with Crawley Town. I mean, do you think that amount of experience should sort of override the fact that Bowyer's got Charlton in his heart? And you know, that's something that a lot of fans like, the fact he's a Charlton man. Do you think that's enough experience to override someone like Lee Bowyer, who's obviously got none?
No, I think if you can find a manager who's got a good track record and a decent amount of experience, and by decent I'm talking five or six seasons minimum at this level, I think then you've maybe got an argument. But I've got nothing against Harry Kewell. More than happy to see him succeed at Crawley. And who knows, maybe he'll go on to be one of those decent managers that 5, 6, 7 years down the line is someone we look at. I just think at the moment, and it's what I said earlier, I think just we've had so much instability. We just need a bit of Charlton back, really. With someone like Lee Bowyer in charge, obviously Bowyer's got to prove himself as well. But if it's not Bowyer, I'd either want someone who's seasoned and knows what they're doing, or someone else who's got Charlton, you know, in their blood. And obviously Powell's not going to be that one because he's at Southend, but there's other people out there. We talked about Nathan Jones in previous weeks. There are other managers like that I would rather go after. As I say, it's nothing against Kewell personally. I just think he's still finding his feet as a manager, and I don't think if and when the takeover happens that we're a club that really want to be the club that he does that with, if that makes sense. I think I'd rather get someone in who's got a bit more experience.
I mean, Valley Floyd Fred says going for Kewell is pointless purely on the fact that someone of basically the same experience but is Charlton is already at the club, so we have to give Bowyer a chance. Now, obviously, when I asked Stedman there about the style of football, Pete, he was talking about how it sounds like they like to play it around a bit, play it out from the back. Now, I mean, how do you think that would go in League One in particular? Because obviously it got Crawley some results. They had a really great run. I think they won about 9 out of 10 games each side of Christmas. But at the start of the season, I guess while they're trying to get used to that system, and now it's sort of fallen away a little bit. Obviously, they've had some difficult runs. So, I mean, how do you think that sort of football could go in League One?
Yeah, I think it can work. It's kind of hard to get a specific style of football, especially in this league, when it's a lot more physical than the Championship. To be honest, there is a lot less football played, just due to the nature of the league and the quality of the players. I think, like as you said, Kewell has got them playing. They're mid-table. They have had a good run. They score goals.
Yeah, it's a little bit about you've got to take into account what size club Crawley are. I think they're amongst the favourites to go down at the start of the season.
What I don't want to be is that we're getting it. Everybody wants Roland out, and we want a new ownership. But under Roland, it was bringing in the own managers because that was the way he wanted. So to start on that footing with the potential Australian consortium coming in, picking someone from a lower league, I think even Harry would probably be honest with himself. You know, we know him as a great player from when we were younger, and he's doing a good job at Crawley, but I wouldn't say that less than a season at a League Two club would have the credentials for a club. And we are one of the bigger clubs, believe it or not, in the league. We need to get back to the Championship, and I agree. I think Nathan Jones, I mean, we just see what Nathan Jones has done with Luton. And I would go with someone that he knows Charlton. And I'm surprised he hasn't been touted. He's obviously flatly rejected.
I mean, we've mentioned it a couple of times on Lost Sports Show in particular. But
I would go with him, someone who knows Charlton, someone who's got the pedigree. He's done it in lower leagues. And, you know, I'll be honest, I don't really want Kewell as manager.
I mean, because a lot of people have said, as Pete just said there, Tom, about how it's very much, you know, Roland had his own managers, you know, and then you end up with Drosh like Carol Friday. I mean, obviously, that was a negative, that he was just bringing in anyone that brushed past him on the street more than once, like people he knew, people he'd worked with. Now, you could argue that if the Australians were to do that, I mean, there's nothing wrong with a manager who has a good relationship with the people above him, because they have to work together. Now, obviously, under Rowlands, unfortunately, the people above the managers, or the managers were poor anyway, but then the people above them didn't know what they were doing. Now, if that was different with this so-called Australian consortium, if they are the ones who end up taking over, I mean, could that be seen also... I mean, it's seen as a negative because it could just be, oh, he's my mate, I'm going to give him a job no matter how good he is. But could it be seen as a positive because, well, you know, they're going to work together, they're all going to be sort of thinking the same way, they might have some sort of connection that could help the club.
Yeah, I see that point of view, and I agree with you that relationship's important. If they're employing Darren Lehman, the ex-Australian cricket coach, or, you know, they're employing Pat Rafter, the ex Australian tennis player, that, you know, that's in line with what
we're going to cricket coach, though. We're going to be curling some balls into the top corner, aren't we?
Yeah.
Keeper ain't going to see it.
But, yeah, if they're just picking people that they know who've got no interest in football or no... I say none. I know Fry had some experience in that he'd managed under-12s or his kids' team or something. But, yeah, that is obviously an issue. I completely agree that the relationship between the owner and the manager is crucial, and, I mean, that's been proven in what's happened here. But also, at the same time, you have to look at what happened with Rowland and the managers he did know. None of them really worked out. Now, part of that, of course, is down to the fact that those managers were inexperienced and were no good. But knowing Rowland didn't help him. It helped him get a job, but they still lost it ultimately. So that relationship can be formed. It doesn't have to be something that, you know, they don't have to pick their mates straight away. If you get a decent manager in and you're willing to have open conversations with them, which as an owner, that should be your responsibility, then that relationship can work with any manager. And there's no reason that couldn't work with Lee Bowyer. Again, I'm not, you know, saying he deserves the job straight away. He's got a long way to prove himself as well. But if he, like Pete said, if he gets us into the playoffs, even if we don't go up, he proves that worth, then why not give him a chance next year if they're prepared to give him that conversation and that open relationship with him?
Right, so the latest from Harry Kewell, he spoke to the Crawley Observer earlier on today with regards to the link with the Charlton job. He said, I'm flattered because it's a great club, but no one has approached me. He described it as speculation. He goes, however, I don't think you all realise how big this club, Crawley, can possibly be. With a little bit of hard work and a few more players, you just don't know how good this club could be. I see so much potential in the squad and the area. I want to take this club to the top, to the Premier League even. Why not? He then cited Bournemouth as an example of someone who's done that before. So that's Kewell's latest on it. As we sort of said earlier on the top of the show, you never really know. I mean, you never really can trust a manager when he's saying that at the current club he's at. In fact, Garmy said, I'm sure Kewell could take Crawley to the Premier League, but only on FIFA 2018. So there you go. Valley Voice. Now, of course, a few people have noticed that Chris Powell's odds have shortened a little bit over. But we worked out the other day that it really doesn't take that much money going on a Charlton manager market to really shorten someone's odds. But Valley Voice says, as much as I love Powell, I think it would be a mistake to bring him back. We should cherish the memories and don't kill the love for Powell. Keep Bowyer or bring in Nathan Jones. Right, we'll have a quick break here on Charlton Live. When we come back, we're going to hear a little clip from our Love Sport radio show, just to let you know what we get up to over on that there radio station. The way you move.
Rise on that pressure on Britain. Instead, they still have it. But they give it away as McGrandles loses out to Cashy. We'll go for goal here. Akme Cashy shoots it in!
What a
Cashy!
Oh, Akme Cashy.
What a strike from the Algerian. The way you move.
Welcome back to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. Now, just to give you the heads up, because obviously it's the Easter weekend coming up, let you know what our plans are. So today is Thursday, we're doing the big match preview. Tomorrow, Good Friday, is when we're playing Northampton Town. Many of you will probably be listening to this on the way up to that game. Let's hope it's 3 points for the Addicts, and let's hope you've had a couple of beers already. Now, Sunday is Easter Sunday, and then we're playing on Monday. So just because of the sheer workload that we're going to have over the weekend, and the fact it is... a special day, you know, family day. We're not going to do a show. I will try and put out a mini podcast with any interviews and highlights from the Northampton game, but I'll just do a very short one at home. So don't try and tune in on Sunday because we're not going to be here, but do check your podcast feed for some reaction to the Northampton game. Now, on Monday, we're at home to Rotherham, of course, and then in the evening, both Tom and Nathan are going to head over to the Love Sport Radio studio to review the game, and of course you'll be able to phone in and have your say on that radio show. Now obviously we don't put those shows out of podcast. You can listen to them on demand via their website after, which is lovesportradio.com. Just search for the on demand page and you'll find Charlton Live on there somewhere. But I just wanted to give you, for those of you who hadn't listened to the show, an idea of what we get up to on Love Sport Radio. So this is a clip from Monday evening's show. Obviously, we were looking back at the game against last weekend against Plymouth Argyle. And this is one of the calls that came in during that show. So this is what we get up to over on Love Sport.
This is Love Sport Radio. I'm Alex Stevanovic. We are talking all things Charlton Athletic until 10 o'clock this evening. This is the Charlton Hour, and it's your chance to have your say here. Give us a call, 0208 7020 558. And also on the socials at Love Sport Radio. We're also online and digital. We're on 558 AM, also on your Alexa smart speaker. I'm joined here by Tom Wallin and Louis Mendez, both from Charlton Live. Good evening to you guys.
Evening, Alex. How are you doing? Evening.
Yeah, all right. Thanks. All right. I want to bring Paul from Portsmouth. He's a Charlton fan in on the line. Good evening to you, Paul.
Hello, guys. You all right?
Yeah, good. Thanks. Very well, thanks. What would you like to say?
I just wanted to say what a turnaround I thought Saturday was. I thought the week before the Fleetwood game was probably one of the direst games. I was fortunate enough not to travel to the Blackpool game before that, which listening to the guys on Charlton Live telling one of the most miserable Charlton experiences ever. But I thought the game on Saturday was a complete turnaround. And I agree with what the guys have been saying. It just felt like such a good feel-good feeling around the club from turning up before the game. Everyone seemed up. Obviously, the change of management, having two Charlton legends in Bowyer and Johnny Jackson in charge, I think just gave everyone a lift. And you could see that. And it was such a difference in the atmosphere in the crowd on Saturday as well. You know, if the ball went backwards, there wasn't the booing and jeering that we were all doing on the Saturday of the Fleetwood game. But, you know, everyone saw it as a positive move. Charlton were looking to push forward. And obviously, a cracking result. And if only the takeover could go through as well, it could be an absolute perfect week for Charlton.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think sparked that upturn in performance? Because obviously there was a lot of talk about the change to two up top, which we haven't seen too far, too often this season. And of course, you mentioned there the atmosphere, the takeover that's now seemingly imminent again. I mean, do you think all these things sort of combined to come up with like a perfect storm of positivity at the Valley?
I think it is, Louis. Yeah, I think the two up front, as soon as I saw the team news, I had dreadful traffic bombs getting up from Portsmouth Saturday once I just about arrived as the team was being announced. And, you immediately looked at that, for right, Jose and Zyra playing alongside each other. I think that really gave everyone a spark. Obviously, we started brilliantly when we had that chance in the first, the first minute when there was a great tackle from the guy when Zyra looked clean through and obviously Page's goal. But I think that the takeover being almost done, and obviously we've all been, I'm sure, refreshing Twitter every 2.5 seconds today, hoping it will go through, and sadly hasn't. But, I think there's so many positive things. I think Bowyer is a Charlton player. He came up through the ranks at Charlton. We sold him, Kerb sold him, and then rebuilt the team that got us promoted. You know, I think, if I might be wrong, lads, but so correct me if I am, but I'm sure when we sold Bowyer is when Kerb actually spent the money on buying him Donker, Jones, that got us up through the playoffs that year. So, you know, he's a Charlton player. Obviously, Jackson's been with us for so many years. We'll all remember his instrumental being the captain that, you know, got us up 100 points, what was that, 5-6 years ago now. So, I think there were so many things that gave it a positive atmosphere on Saturday. And it was so bizarre, because walking back to the car after the Fleetwood debacle, my dad and I were chatting, as we all done the way back, and we were both saying maybe Robinson had to go. Neither of us were people who were on Robinson's back. We both thought he was the right guy, possibly at the wrong time. But we both sort of said to Joel, maybe he needs to go, maybe Jackson or Bowie needs to take over at the end of the season. And it just seemed to give everyone a lift. But I think that the big thing was that the imminent takeover, which, if that could just go through, I think would make such a difference.
So looking ahead,
certainly make my 200-mile round trips worthwhile.
Yeah, definitely. So looking ahead to that takeover, I mean, obviously the word has been in the press recently that Harry Kewell would appear to be the man coming in. What do you make of him? Because obviously he's in his first senior managerial job with Crawley now. Other than that, he's just done a little bit at Watford under-23s. I mean, are you excited by the prospect of him coming in?
In 30 seconds, if you can, Paul.
I'd really love that. I think I'd love to see Bowen Jackson stay at the end of the season. I thought it was very interesting to listen to Terry's interview on your show on Sunday night, Louis, when Bowie was saying that he'd been working with Kewell at the under-23s at Watford, which I was totally unaware of before he came to us. So obviously he's worked with Kewell before, but personally I'd love to see Bowen Jackson get the job to the end of the season.
Paul, thank you so much for your call. That's Paul from Portsmouth. He's a Charlton fan there with us here on Love Sport Radio. 0208 7020 558 is the number to call.
So there we go. That was a clip from Monday's Love Sport Radio show. As you can see, you can call in, you can chat to us, chat about anything you want about the club. And it was a really enjoyable show. That was Paul from Portsmouth who joined us. That was a really good call. And so you're doing Monday. So it'd be a really good one because we would have just played as well. So
yeah, and obviously we'll have had two games since we last did it. Mm. So yeah, urge everyone to get in touch because the calls make it really interesting. It's a good chance to have some interaction because obviously we don't get the opportunity here other than the social media. So
So join in Monday evening, 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock, lovesportradio.com, medium wave 558 in the London area. You can listen through your Alexa smart speaker as well. Well, I don't really understand how that works, but apparently you can. We had a tweet in from Sarah. She says, "I wonder if Powell regrets joining Twitter with the Charlton fans hounding him to come back. Do you think he's getting the message?" Yeah, I mean, I imagine his notifications is just a timeline full of Charlton fans saying, "Please come and manage the club again." But I mean, Rich did go with it in his paper last week that he was the Australian consortium's first choice. So you never know. If they end up waiting until the end of the season with Bowie, see how it goes. Maybe they'll make a decision or let's try and get Pally now.
I'm not sure he's going to come back anytime soon, as I say, because he's got that Southend job. He's a sort of loyal man that's going to stick that out. I'd be very surprised if we didn't see him back here again at some point as a manager. I know they say that they never go back, but I just feel he's got unfinished business. He was let go so harshly in the first place. I think he wants to come back here and prove a point. I don't think it'll be now. But interesting that he was their first choice. And as we said back before the takeover had happened, we said if you're a new owner and you want to get fans on side quickly, you hire Chris Powell as manager.
You have him back, Pete?
Yeah. I mean, he came back three times as a player. It was three different times as a player, so he might as well try and emulate that as a manager. I mean, like I said, he's got unfinished business. Yeah. The way he left, the way he was pushed out at the Sheffield United game. Yeah.
He needs to score at the cover then and be carried off like he did as a player.
I don't know many Charlton fans that wouldn't have him, but it has to be. It has to be the right circumstance. He 100%. Needs to have money. He needs to be given full control. And I don't think there'd be any Charlton fan. Yeah. I'd like to meet him. He wouldn't want him back.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's like, you know, they do say never go back. Look at Martin Mad Dog Allen. Martin, he's
about
there
seven
times. Yeah, five times. It's literally like someone's playing fetch with Mad Dog, isn't it? They're chucking the ball. He's bringing it back five times to try and save the Bees from relegation. Right, Red and White, 1905, says, "Has anyone thought maybe the takeover was made up to keep us from protesting at the Valleian in Belgium? Just saying, Murray keeps saying it's close, don't happen. Newspaper reports is happening, it doesn't happen." I mean, if Murray wanted to do that, he could, but I don't think he does. And then I think it'd be much harder for it to be out in papers and with people like Rick, who've been speaking to numerous different bids as well. There's no way he'd just be wasting all that time if he wasn't looking to sell.
Yeah, I see what the guy who's tweeted in says. It would be a tactic, I think. If there was nothing happening, as you say, I think somebody in the know would have seen past that and would be able to leak that and we'd find out. I think the protests are obviously keep getting pushed back. I think the recent decision not to for Easter Monday is totally right, 100%. But there have been other opportunities to protest early in the season, and maybe the takeover talk has obviously stalled those protests. I don't think they did that. I've got no inside knowledge, but I think Murray probably made those statements in good faith. Now, they were slightly misguided in that the information wasn't as correct, but a lot of people trust Rick and Rick's evidence, and he tweeted done deal, and that proved to be incorrect in that the takeover hasn't happened yet. So people are putting things out there. I don't personally think there's any mind games or tactics in it. As I say, I could be wrong, but certainly in terms of the decision not to protest on Monday, I totally get that, and I support that, because it has only been one game, but the atmosphere on Saturday was so different. There's just perhaps that glimmer of hope that we don't want to interrupt that now. We want to let them get on with it and let's see where we are in a few games' time.
Right, let's have a quick break here on Charlton Live. When we come back, it will be time to start looking ahead to Good Friday's game up at Northampton. But before that, we've got a really good Wish We Were There as well.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
To be occupying that left-hand side at the moment. Little step over onto his left foot. Marshall, ball in the box is good. And Rebo, first time.
Oh, shot. What a goal!
Lovely finish!
Oh, what a goal!
Joe Rebo gives Charlton the lead. Great ball in from Mark Marshall on the left-hand side. Chips it in. And Rebo, with a calm left-footed volley, have found the bottom right corner and Charlton have the lead.
Agenda here, but not yet breaking through, not yet beating Simon Royce. Jensen with the corner. Oh, Bartlett! And in the end, it's put in by Andy Todd.
Well, I just wonder what kind of factor Mark Jerry Taggart getting off the field to the corner proved to be. Normally, you don't get a goal, you don't get a free header against Leicester City in this sort of situation. But the run in there was an excellent one, and full mark. The Todd on the prowl just waiting to knock it in. But really, I think Jerry Taggart's absence was really a major contributor here, and they're very poor marking.
Something said that attack's the best form of defence. Sam Kerbyshire won. To be controlled attack. He'd love a finish to it.
Oh, he's got it!
Brilliant! Bartlett! 2-0. Charlton's game now.
Well, I have to say, Mr. Tyler, over the last couple of days, you and I have witnessed some wonderful goals. Gerrard and Fowler yesterday. And this one, well, I tell you what, when you look at goal of the season, this is going to take some beating. If Paolo Di Canio wins it last season, then that's right up there with it. Wonderful vision from Stewart. And it was a lot more than that to go, because he had to beat someone before he even delivered the ball. And taking this on, what a strike. That's worthy of winning any football match.
April the 1st, 2001, Sean Bartlett's goal. Amazing left-footed volley after a long probing ball from a Graham Stewart that did win goal of the season that year. Superb strike it was, and always nice to reminisce. And you're a big fan of Sean Bartlett because of your South African roots,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah. I like him, yeah. Oh, looking back to the days of that mediocre Premier League football we used to play.
Yeah, that's like champagne football in the Premier League. That was what I was brought up on, and that's what I want to get.
Yeah.
Right, Will Bonham tweets in saying, any chance you can mention this, reclaim the game. It's the petition that's been put out. I think it started by Blackpool fans, actually. But it's a
Tangerine Knights, wasn't it?
Yeah, by a petition aimed at the FA. To rid what they say the dodgy owners that are destroying our clubs, whilst they feel that the EFL, the Football League, and the FA just sit back and watch. So if you want to sign that, I've just retweeted that on the Charlton Live Twitter account if you want to get involved in that. Right, time to look ahead. Tomorrow, Friday, Good Friday. Hopefully it'll be a very good Friday when we go up to Northampton. To take on the Cobblers. Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, of course, the manager there. They're not having a great season. Now, as has been the feature on Charlton Live, the big match preview for the last few weeks, I decided to get in contact with James Hennigan from the Northampton Chronicle and Echo to find out how the Cobblers are getting on this season.
Right, we're joined now on Charlton Live by James Hennigan from the Northampton Chronicle and Echo. Good evening, James. How are you doing?
Hi there. Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Now, of course, it's a big game coming up on Good Friday for both clubs, really. The Cobblers are in all sorts of trouble now. Just one win in 10, 2 points from safety, but having played a few more games than some of those around them as well. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, in general, how has the season seemed to have gone for them?
I'd say disappointing is the word that sums it up, especially as before the season started, there was quite a lot of optimism. I mean, last season was a struggle, and they only just stayed up on the penultimate weekend. But they signed quite a few players in the summer. They also got extra investment, and yeah, I think expectations were quite high. I mean, nothing too special, but sort of at least mid-table, maybe top half push. But it's just gone sort of lurched from one disaster to the next. As their goal difference shows, they've let in quite a few goals, had quite a few beatings. Consistency has been a real problem. They've been through, they're on their second manager now. They've gone through, I've lost count of the amount of players they've signed over the last sort of 10, 12 months. So yeah, it's just been a big disappointment and a huge letdown.
Yeah, because I guess at the start of last season when they just got promoted and, you know, Chris Wilder had done such a good job under all those financial constraints. I mean, were things sort of looking up in particular on the financial side as well?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the season they got off, the season they won the league, after that, there was obviously a lot of expectation, a lot of optimism, and everyone was quite upbeat. They had a new chairman who brought in a bit of money, and everything looked really good. But then Wilder left, and ever since then, it started going downhill, really. I mean, his replacement, well, Page, didn't do a great job. He didn't really maintain that momentum and that sort of feel-good vibe from the previous year. He was sacked, and then Justin Edinburgh came in. There was a brief upturn when he first came in, but again, he just didn't get the results consistently enough, was sacked at the start of this season. And similar sort of story with Hasselbank. You know, that's been the big problem for them, is finding a manager who can get consistent results and who can get the best out of the players, because financially they're very settled. They've got a decent backing, and they've brought in, theory, they've brought in some really good, solid League One players. But for one reason or another, whoever the manager is can't seem to get the best out of them, and it's very frustrating for fans.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Charlton fans will be quite familiar with your current manager, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, because he did play for us for one season in the Premier League. I mean, what sort of managerial style has he got? Because, I mean, we saw he had success at Burton Albion, but not so much at QPR, and seems to be struggling again this season.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? Because you'd have thought Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, given his reputation as a player and how he played, he would be quite a sort of attacking, forward-thinking manager. But it's actually the opposite. I mean, he's very focused on being well-drilled, being well-organised, being difficult to beat. And at times that has shown. They've had games where, actually against the better sides in the league, they've looked a bit better. They've drawn with Blackburn twice. They're only narrowly beaten by Wigan twice. Drew with Shrewsbury. But I think it's been more at home. They've struggled at home. Coming up with sort of an attacking game plan in terms of creating chances and scoring goals. I think only two teams in the division have scored less than them. That has been a problem. You wouldn't have thought that was Hasselbank, given his, you know, what he was like as a player, an amazing striker, amazing goal record. But yeah, I mean, scoring goals has been Northampton's problem, so they could do with him in his prime, I think, right now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So is that been their main problem this season? Do you reckon, scoring goals?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you look to the league table, you could argue they've conceded too many, and obviously they have conceded too many. But when it comes down to it, you know, if they do go down this season, it will be a lack of goals that will send them down. Because you look at the players again, you know, the players they've signed, the players they've got, they all have the reputation, or they all have the talent to succeed at this level. They've either done it in the past, or, you know, they've got three or four players on loan from Premier League clubs. They've got other players who have had success at this level, but for some reason they're just not getting the goals out of the team that they need. Too many sort of nil-nils, 1-0 defeats. So, yeah, scoring goals has been their major problem.
And what sort of atmosphere can the Charlton fans expect to see on Friday? I mean, are the crowd quite quick to turn if things aren't going their way at the moment?
Yeah, there's been a bit of friction between Hasselbank and the fans, actually, over the last few months. I mean, the fans have slowly turned, and he criticised the fans after... We initially criticised them back in November after a 0-0 draw at home. There was a few boos and he didn't like that. And then similar sort of scenario recently against Oxford at home when, again, it ended 0-0. They played all right, but there was a few boos, few sort of comments I can't repeat. But he doesn't take too kindly to that. I think a few managers just ignore it and treat it as part of the game. But Hasselbank didn't do that, and he openly criticised the fans and said they shouldn't do it, and it doesn't help the players and all that, and that has only rocked them up the wrong way further. So the atmosphere, if the game doesn't start well, if they concede early or they start badly, then it will turn, and I think it will get a bit nasty. But at the same time, they played Shrewsbury home last Tuesday, and it was a great atmosphere. They were really behind the team. There was good noise. So, it's all about how they start. First 10, 20 minutes is absolutely crucial.
So let's look ahead to Friday's game. Obviously, earlier on in the season, Charlton ran out 4-1 winners quite early on in the campaign at the Valley. But, I mean, what are the players that Charlton fans should be looking out for in the Northampton team on Friday?
That's a good question. I think it would have been John Joe at all had he not been suspended, because he's been by far and away Northampton's best player over the last 3 years. But with him out, I'd say Matt Crooks, he's quite a powerful box-to-box midfielder who's chips in with the odd goal. Pereira, who's a player who's come in on loan. He was at Nottingham Forest last year, sort of a quick, pacey, direct player. And in theory, Kevin Von Veen, the striker who they signed from Scunthorpe, he's got quite a good goal record at Scunthorpe in this division, but he hasn't quite done it for Northampton yet. But he has been injured and he's only really getting back to full fitness. So they're sort of pinning their hopes on him finding the net and finding some form. So I'd say, those three players would be the three to look out for.
And finally, I guess, how do you rate Northampton's chances of beating the drop this season?
I must admit, right at this very moment, I'm not too confident, especially on the back of Saturday's defeat to Fleetwood. They were very poor that day. And like you mentioned earlier, one win in 10, they're only going one way and it's not the way they need to go. So I personally think probably 70-30 that they're heading down. But, one win changes everything, doesn't it? So if they can get that win sooner rather than later, then you never know, they might just have enough.
So there we go, there's James Hennigan from the Northampton Chronicle and Echo. Talking about the Cobblers, interesting season they've been having. Obviously, so they came up from League 2 a couple of years ago with Chris Wilder. Despite all the financial issues they had at the time, they survived. And then Chris Wilder moved on and they've gone for a few managers now who've struggled, including Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. I mean, obviously Jimmy's a former player here. What sort of reception do you think he'll get from the Charlton fans on tomorrow?
Rubbish. wasn't he on 50 grand? Right. I mean, I think he joined in the season we got relegated from the Premier League, didn't he? Yeah. So he never... I mean, he was a big name. He was a big name at the time.
Big other stuff as well.
Yeah, I think,
According to Nathan last week.
Yeah.
It hasn't really... I mean, he'd done all right at Burton Albion, of course, but then he went to QPR where it's quite difficult to succeed at the moment, and now, obviously, at Northampton where it's the same. Also, you mentioned that they're going to be missing John Joe Atul, got sent off in a really good ruck against Shrewsbury. Worth looking up a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Proper brawl that was, and he got sent off for that, so he's still serving his suspension. So that it's all pointing in the direction. I think he scored against us last season. It's all pointing in the direction of a couple of good omens for us, Tom. I mean, just purely on Northampton. When you go to a club that's in desperate need of points now at this stage of the season, then obviously there's going to be a lot to play for both sides, so maybe form could go a little bit out the window when it comes to Northampton if they're starting to get a bit desperate.
Yeah, a little bit, but at the same time, if they are going to be a bit desperate and they're going to have to come out and play, then that's going to leave them exposed at the back as well. I think they've lost 3 and drawn 4 in their last 7, so it's not like they're on brilliant form. And I mean, at the start of the season, when we were not necessarily brushing teams aside, but we were winning a lot of games and we were up there, I kept saying we need to be arrogant, we need to impose ourselves, we need to prove that we're the better team. This is one of those games. They're a team that's down on their luck, they're on a poor run, they're in the relegation zone. given the confidence of last week, we should be going there and saying, do you know what? No, we're going to impose our game on you and we're going to show why we're up where we are. Mm-hmm. And if we do that, there's no reason we can't run out comfortable winners. Mm-hmm. The issue has been over the past few weeks that we haven't done that enough. So, yeah, it's not going to be an easy game just because they're down there, but we've got the quality on our side to put them away for sure.
I mean, we did that earlier on in the season, of course. I mean, I think we're 2-0 up, then they pull one back with about 10 minutes and there's a little bit of nerves, but then we got those two great goals from Forster Kasky that finished them off. Now, obviously, Pete, the reason you're here is because you have Northampton connections. I just want to go through those again for us.
As my dad is a Northampton Town fan. Yeah. Grandparents live there, so I used to go to Sixfields when I was younger, ever visiting them. I went to Wembley to see him beat Swansea City in 97 playoff final. Yeah. And then the next time I went, they got tonked 3-0 by Bradford.
Lovely, jubbly. So a special day for you tomorrow, and you're looking forward to...
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
How much of a ribbing would you give your dad if we were to beat them?
Fair bit. Yeah. Well, it's about an hour and a half back, isn't it? One of us is going to lose out. But let's hope it's him after. Yeah. I think last year was a dismal performance. And then, like I say, early on in the season, I think it was a completely new Charlton, wasn't it? We had seen, even though it was a bit rocky in the last 10 minutes. They were awful.
But obviously, I mean, James did say that perhaps they might be willing to up their game when the big guns come to town like Charlton. I mean, do you think
massive?
I mean, this is obviously their cup final.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. It's huge for both teams. I mean, Northampton have been they contrary to them actually not like winning, which you sort of need to do to get away from the relegation. They've picked up a draw away at Shrewsbury, away at Blackburn. You know, they have been able to close teams out. I hope to think we'll go there with just a little bit more quality, but I think it'll be typical of us. You know, like any ex-player scores against us. But we haven't really come against many ex-managers.
I'm a little bit
anxious in the fact that they might get. But I like I said, Tom said, you know, last Saturday we have got a newfound confidence. Mm. They need to come at us, and I do think we have got the players to beat them.
Right, let's have a listen to what Lee Bowyer has to say. Obviously, he's going to preview the game. He was sat down. Oh, what special treat for Lee Bowyer? His first interview with BBC Radio Kent's Tony Hudd.
Last week, you beat an informed Plymouth Argyle. This weekend, you face relegation-haunted Northampton. You're going from one extreme to the other.
Yeah, and this is what I've said to the lads. This will be just as big a test. We will go there. We will respect them. It's going to be difficult because they're fighting. They need to score goals. They need to win games. And if I know Jimmy like I do, then he will have them ready for Friday. And it's just down to us. If we perform anywhere near what we did on Saturday, which we demand, then I'm hoping that we'll come away with 3 more points.
Got to touch on the injury list. Do you have any more players available to you this weekend that weren't available to you last weekend?
Well, we've got Ez and Josh come back. Ez is off today, but Josh came back and trained on Monday. Cashew's back in the building, so that's a positive, just to have him back in the building. Little Jay De Silva, I've just seen him at breakfast. He's trained the last 2 days with Chelsea, so again, he'll be training with us today. Who else is there? Little Jay De Silva. Steffi will be on the bench weekend. That's about it, but we've got some big players come back. You've got two internationals just come back in the building. You've got little Jay De Silva, who I love, and obviously Steffi. Cashy, I don't think Cashy's near yet. I know he's doing some stuff with the physios, but yeah, which is good, you know, because we've got a lot of games coming up in a short space of time, so there will be rotation, and so hopefully we don't pick up too many injuries.
Fair to say then the injury situation is improving.
It's improving, yeah. Not for me, because then I've got to make difficult decisions. But it's improving, and our players are coming back, which is the most important thing.
Lee, would it be hard to change your winning team? Because I know you just mentioned Josh and Ezra coming back internationals, but the way you played on Saturday.
Yeah, no, it's difficult, but I think there's a couple of things I'm thinking about. Obviously, Northampton, they've played two formations recently. They've gone, last two games, they've played a 3-5-2, and before that, they was a 4-4-1-1. So, I'm looking at personnel, obviously, with the game on Monday. I'm looking at that as well. So I'm trying to figure out what's the best formation to play to start with. And I'll have to wait until tomorrow. Still going to keep watching games on them, and but well, whatever happens and whatever team I put out on Friday will be for the lads to know what their jobs are, and they'll be ready.
What formations is it also for you? The personnel is a bit of a selection dilemma for you.
Well, yeah, because if I play just a straight 4-4-2, then I could bring other players that suit that better if I'm going to play wide men. So, again, I'm not really going to give too much away, but that's what I'm contemplating at the moment, whether to play wingers or stick with the formation that they've done so well with. So, but yeah, that's something that I'll think about in the next 24 hours.
Yeah, just with them happening, obviously going up against your old, I think he's at Leeds with you, Jim Fassberg.
Yeah.
Like, it's strange going up against him, you know, manager to manager.
Yeah, it will be, because obviously we played together and we was good friends. So now it's like a different battle, you know. So no, it'd be good, and I look forward to seeing Jim. He's a nice man, and we had some good times together.
So there he is, statistically the best Charlton manager of all time, Lee Bowyer. Looking ahead to tomorrow's game, interesting, obviously, little side story there, a bit of narrative that he's obviously best mates with Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, it sounds like. I mean, played together at Leeds United.
That makes you best mates, doesn't it, I think?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, I don't know if what that will have into account. I don't know if that means he might be able to think about the sort of playing style that he may try or anything like that. He might have the inside track on how he thinks.
I think from the sound of the way he's talked as well, he's... You know, I'm sure Robbo did this as well, but he seems to be prepared to do his research and watch clips of the other team and that. I think the big difference between him and Robbo, as we say, it's only one game in, but the way Bowyer talks is he's prepared to adapt his system to therefore combat that other team. So if he's done his homework, I mean, I think he said that Northampton play with a few different formations in recent weeks, so it's kind of predicting how they're going to set up and then work in the best way to combat it. But obviously we saw last week, and again, maybe it was just a one-off, we obviously hope not, but the masterclass really to put that diamond into play, and not only that, for it, his players to then pull it off was huge. And if he can do that again, as I say, I don't think their Leeds connection is necessarily going to tell him that much, but if he does his work this week, which we all hope he's done, then yeah, he's clearly proven that he's prepared to try things and experiment and change things up. And again, that's what he's going to need to do tomorrow.
And it sounded like he was hinting towards 4-4-2, but not yet decided if it's a flat or a diamond. Now, obviously, that reaped its rewards, the diamonds, on Saturday against Plymouth Argyle. And, I mean, do you think two up top works better for us? Obviously, we've had that one up top 4-2-3-1 situation for the majority of the season, which a lot of fans were sort of growing tired with. So, I mean, which way would you go?
Nah, I'd go two up top. We're in a situation now with results recently where we have to score and we have to go and win and put ourselves on a good run. So I wouldn't do anything but put two up top.
Mm.
And yeah, we're there to take the game to Northampton. Like, we should be the one going in as favourites, and like, we're going to win. So I would say changing the formation from last week, unless he knows something that I don't, or none of us do, then I would leave it two up top and go for the win, because quite frankly we have to, don't we?
And straight away he's got the selection dilemmas. Now, of course, I mean, injuries aside, you've got the two coming back from international duty, which is obviously big Josh McGuinness, little Jay De Silva. little Jay De Silva is certainly something that Bowyer's decided to start saying every second of the day. First of all, up top, I mean, we were saying off air, I mean, if McGuinness was to come back in, you'd assume it'd be for Zyro, because you can see McGuinness and a Jose forming a nice little partnership. I mean, that's the way I'd see it, but would he go that old? You know, Zyro got a goal last week and looked quite sharp. You know, does he not change a winning side in up top?
Yeah, for me, I think I said off air, I'd be surprised if either McGuinness or Zyro plays both tomorrow and Monday. I think he will play or start each of them in each game. For me, yeah, I think you stick with Zyro. Him and Jose played well last week. I thought Jose worked his behind off for Zyro, and I think you keep those two. As I say, if Zyro is then tired, then great, we've got McGuinness back and he can go in on Monday. But But for me, you keep them two. And then at left back, again, you can't drop Page.
Because, I mean, after scoring that goal, I mean, that goal aside, the performance after that was really good.
The performance that...
But JD Silva's been one of our players of the season.
He has, but that mental block that Page has had to overcome to battle through that injury and get his chance, I think if you then bomb him out just because little Jada Silva's back, for me, it's harsh. And Page, up until that last weekend, the few games we'd seen him, he hadn't showed a huge amount, but he's been so unfortunate with injuries. He deserves another chance. And I don't see why you would change that unless it's tactical.
I mean, another interesting position, just quickly, Pete. I mean, obviously, Reevesy played really well in the wing against Plymouth Argyle. But, I mean, he's probably more of an attack. I mean, Marshall came on to shore up things because he defends more. Now, obviously, we're going away from home. Do you think Bowyer might be tempted to start him over Reeves because he's slightly more defensive for an away performance?
No, I've got a feeling that Northampton will possibly sit back a little bit more than what we expect and try and close us out and catch us on the counter. So I would go tomorrow with an attacking mentality. Mm. I wouldn't be dropping Page or Zyro. I think they've got a bit of confidence, certainly after last week, both getting goals. I wouldn't go with a mindset of defensive. I would say if we end up getting a lead and towards the end we have a 2-goal lead rather than a 1-goal lead, then protect it. Mm. And that's how I would go. I would go attacking, and then if we need to change it, do it in there. But I wouldn't
right. Either. In 10 seconds, I need a prediction and a cashy back bet from you, Pete. So what are you going for? Which prediction and what bet are we going to put on for the down for the upbeats?
I'm going to change my mind from what I said earlier. So 2-1 Charlton, but a hard ground 2-1.
Yeah. So we'll find a 2-1 bet to put on for the upbeats. Tom, your prediction?
3-1
to them Addicts. Right, yeah. The end of the big match preview is here. Don't forget, tomorrow's game is Friday. It's Friday, the game. So if you listen to this Friday morning and you haven't left for the game yet, you should probably leave for the game because it's today. It's not on Saturday. Now, don't forget, because it is the Easter weekend, we're not going to be here on Sunday evening. There will be a miniature pod, hopefully, with a couple of interviews after the Northampton game. But we won't be here on Sunday evening. We'll be back on Monday evening on Love Sport Radio, lovesportradio.com, medium wave 558, London DAB, to look back at Friday's game against Northampton, and then Monday's game, of course, against Rotherham here at the Valley. You'll be able to phone in and have your say just a few hours after the game finishes, so that'll be really good. Right, thanks for joining us, Tom Willink.
Cheers, Louis.
Pete Howarth, good to see you again.
Yeah, nice to see you, Lou. Thank you very much.
And I've been Louis Mendes. This has been Charlton Live, the big match preview. Hope you've enjoyed it. Hope you're listening on to this on the way up to Northampton. Hope by the time you're on the way back, we've got 3 more points in our back pocket. We'll see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.